punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. She's going to be a hot one today, everybody. Currently, right now, the hottest spot in the state of Oklahoma is down there at Granfield at 100 degrees, 93 degrees at Hollis, 88 here at Elk City, 86 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, 86 at Woodward, 83 at Slapout. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, about the same thing, except it's 100 degrees at Odell, 89 at Wellington, and it's 80 at Lipscomb. Not too bad. I can handle 80 better than 100. Anyway, we got lots going on today. I believe Mr. Greg Hartman with the OSU Extension office here in Beckham County is going to be on the show here in just a little bit. So we got a lot to cover between now and then. But I want to start the show out just a little bit different than I probably ever have. So I'm going to start this out with, what's your state's favorite ice cream flavor? This come out from the Dairy Board. Anyway, it's pretty interesting. It says, ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream, especially during sweltering days of the summer. Thankfully, July marks the start of the National Ice Cream Month, and this year, National Ice Cream Day will take place on Sunday, July the 16th. To kick off this year's festivities, we want to analyze consumer tracking data of online shopping data to determine the increase in people's appetite for ice cream. Here's what some of their findings are. You guys pay attention, because I'm going to ask a question after this. And my boss gave me 2 tickets to give away to the Wild Plum Jam this Saturday night at the Sarah Park. There and Sarah, so during the celebrate the Dust Bowl days. So anyway, pay attention to what I'm reading here, and I'm gonna ask a question afterwards. The average American consumes approximately 12 pounds of ice cream each year. California is the largest ice cream consumer in the country, with 4,263 ice cream parlors across the state. 23 states choose chocolate as their favorite ice cream flavor. They also analyzed the favorite five flavors of each state. And there's nothing crazy in it, but I'll go down through here and pick on our neighbors and see what we got going on here. Let's see. Kansas, number 1. Rocky Road, number 2, chocolate. Let's head on down to Oklahoma. Well, here's Missouri. Rocky Road and chocolate, cookie dough, cherry, and strawberries. They're top 5. Nebraska, chocolate, cookie dough, cherry, Rocky Road. And then we get on down here to New Mexico, chocolate, cookie dough, cherry, Rocky Road, Napoleon. And then we got Oklahoma. Rocky Road, chocolate, and strawberry. That's the top 3 there. Cookies and cream actually came in at number 5. Texas, Rocky Road, chocolate, cookies and cream, cookie dough, and the chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla all mixed together. So it's pretty interesting. That's a lot of ice cream, because I'm probably in the, like, 30-pound range, because I love my ice cream. Sorry. And I don't even care if it's healthy for me or not. If you love something, you're going to do for it. So anyway. So my question for the first person to text in the correct answer to the Ag Line today at 580-225-9697. What is the state of Oklahoma's favorite ice cream? What came in at number 1? So whoever texts it in right will get it right. Anyway, got that going on. All right, let's check out what's happening with the markets real quick. Let me update them. Corn. Up over 26 at 576 for July. September's 489. December's 496. Soybeans for July 1516. August is 1477. Soybeans for September, $13.91. November, $13.63. Soybean meal, July, $4.32 even, up over 10. August, $4.21.80. September, $4.12.20. Soybean oil for July, $70. August, $65.92. September, $63.53. Hard red winter wheat, July, $8.04. September, $8.02. Oats for July, $3.94. September, $4.08. And what do we got for cotton? Cotton's up, well, it's down now a little bit. Not much. October's 82 cents a pound. December's 81 cents a pound. Live cattle for August. The cattle's down a little bit today. 175.57. October's 179.02. December, 182.35. February, 185.60. Feeder cattle for August, 244.27. September's 246.65. Lean hogs for July, they actually up today. Hogs are 102.15. August is 96.20. And October is 83.45. Let me give you a heads up what happened at Hobart yesterday. Looked pretty good to me. Steers in the 3-4 weights were bringing up to 350. 4-5 weights up to 307.50. 5-6 weight steers up to 278. 6-7 weight steers, 263.50. 7-8 weights, 222.50. On the heifers, 3-4 weights were bringing 277.50. Also, the 4-5 weights were. 5-6 weights were bringing 222.50. 8-9 weights on the heifers were bringing up to $1.96 or $196 per hundredweight. And anything over 1,000 on the heifers brought at $122.50. No, sorry, that wasn't a heifer, that was a cow. Butcher cows were bringing up to $122.50, and I knew that was right. Pairs brought up to $2,900, and then we had bulls brought up to $132.50. So it looks like price is still pretty good yesterday. So anyway, Mr. Hartman has appeared in the studio. Good, we got a big day planned with me and him today. Speaking of OSU, Greer County 4-H tomorrow, Friday, July 14th at 10 a.m. at the Greer County OSU Extension Office there at 108 South Pennsylvania Avenue in Mangum. 8 to 16 years of age, they're going to have a canning class, or going to have the canning experience. I bet some adults would show up that let you watch if you don't know how to can yet. But anyway, that'd be pretty cool. That's in Mangum tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the OSU Extension office there, a canning experience for ages 8 to 16. If you got any questions, call 580-782-5502. And one more thing before I take a break, and today, by the way, is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, and I'll have more on the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau here just a little bit. Let me see here, where did I have, oh, it's on my messenger. I'm passing this along. There's a silver alert out by the Oklahoma Highway Patrol, and the gentleman that his name is Fred Adams. He's 64, 6'1", weighs 195 pounds. And this is a silver alert activated by the OHP on behalf of the Custer County Sheriff's Department. Adams was last seen 7/12, which would have been yesterday, at 9:30 at his residence in Custer County. He is driving a red 2007 Ford F-150, Oklahoma tag, DDA 591. He has been diagnosed with dementia, and so anyway, if you see him, call 911. His son-in-law works at the co-op there, and also is a firefighter for Custer City, I'm guessing. So anyway, I'm passing that along for them, and it's appreciated. If you guys see this, let's just call 911, all right? Okay, let's take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, and when we come back, I'll have your Texas Panhandle weather update, and we got lots to talk about today, don't we, Greg? So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom mats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Good afternoon to all of Jimmy Clark's great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, July 10th. I'm Drew Cobb. 934 head were sold. 11 head of steers at 471 brought 287. 16 at 629 brought 243. 49 at 758 brought 247. 11 at 800 brought 238. 40 at 846 brought 232. 25. 20 at 877 brought 226. 24 at 1002 brought 215. 4 head of heifers at 406 brought 241. 27 at 531 brought 251. 9 at 617 brought 224. 3 at 655 brought 213. 35 at 676 brought 233. 9 at 678 brought 226. 13 at 716 brought 221. Butcher cows were 85 to 125.50. Butcher bulls brought 114 to 145. Pairs were 1750 to 1810. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call O'Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. 580-497-6095.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed and corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, I think our listeners like ice cream. I need to bring up the Dairy Association surveys more often. Anyway, I picked Dozer out here in Texas for your update. 87 degrees, heat index is 98. And this is the reason why. Humidity's at 70, dew point 76. Northeast winds at 6 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today is at 20 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 3.99 inches of rain. And the 8-inch soil temperature is 82 degrees. Yesterday it was 76, and today it's 82. So a little bit of heat goes a long way. All right, before we get on, Mr. Hartman, I want to announce the winner, Jessica Hartman. Rocky Road is the correct answer. Somebody, we got strawberry, we got chocolate chip cookie dough, we got it going on. But anyway, nope, it was Rocky Road is the favorite ice cream in Oklahoma, also in Texas. So anyway, congratulations I'll put your name on these tickets. Be sure and pick them up today before 5 or pick them up tomorrow before 4 o'clock. They're pretty valuable tickets. A Wild Plum Jam going on there Saturday night. So in the studio with me right now is Mr. Greg Hartman with the OSU Extension office, and he's our OSU Extension educator. Is that your correct title now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I get that confused sometimes. Yeah. Anyway, he's an agent here. He's not a secret agent either. So anyway, welcome to the show today. Good to have you back.
I am glad to be here. I was a little disappointed that vanilla ice cream didn't come up because I like the diversity of vanilla ice cream where you could put all kinds of flavors and stuff on it. But anyway.
But would you turn down a bowl of Rocky Road?
Well, I wouldn't turn down any ice cream. But anyway, I like that. So, no, it's great to be back. A lot of things to talk about. We won't have time for them all today. But since you started off with Greer County 4-H there for a while, I might just mention that on July the 18th, that will be coming up here the next Tuesday, we are going to have a 4-H meeting there at 6 o'clock in the evening at Sayre for our shooting sports program. I don't know.
Yeah,
you've probably done a lot of looking at that, and you've done a lot of advertising on Facebook, but Paul Hightower and Monty Tucker have been awesome about handling that as volunteers and taking that to high levels. I mean, they have won on the highest level in Oklahoma that you can, and even nationally they go to lots of different things. But we're going to have a meeting to kind of inform the general public as far as the kids want to be involved in that and get them enrolled. And it's very, very important that if you're a young 4-H'er or a senior that you want to be involved in the shooting sports program here in Beckham County with Paul Hightower and Monty Tucker, that you come to that meeting because we need to get those kids enrolled. Our annual enrollment starts August 1st, and it's going to be important because you got to be enrolled about a month before you can shoot. And OYE shoot, which Beckham County won last year, is going to be probably the Tuesday, Wednesday after Labor Day, because that's right, it's 1st September. So we got to get these kids enrolled very, very quickly as we open up the books on August 1st.
Right, yeah. I'm glad that I got to witness what's happened with the shooting programs in the last 6-7 years. You know, especially, like you said, Monty and Paul have taken it to another level in Beckham County. Matter of fact, they're headed out here in a couple weeks to Illinois to the national shoot.
Yeah, and they go all over. And I didn't know that there were so many scholarships from Division One, Division Two,
full scholarships,
Division Four that you can get for shooting sports. Mickey McGee was in my office the other day and talking about his son shoots. I think they're in Missouri. And that's a Division I school, and he was a national champion.
First year.
Yeah, so there's lots of great things. And
I keep forgetting about Mickey, but Mickey has been with him and Paul, three of them.
Yeah, they've done a great job, and of course there's a lot of other volunteers there too. It takes so many of them to get it all done because, you know, you go to a district shoot, and the one we had over there the end of April, I mean – we end up taking 37 kids over to that shoot there. And so it's just not like they're taking two or three or four or ten, a couple teams. I mean, they've got a full sled of seniors, juniors, intermediates, and all those things. So they do an awesome job and practicing. And if you've never been by the red dirt shooting deal there north of Sayre, they have really made that into a luxury shooting site.
Building a barn right now, I believe.
It's really, really nice. They've done a great job. So if you're interested in that, please come out. We'll have hot dogs that night to eat. And
what time is that? 6?
6 o'clock there on July the 18th at the Sayre Activity Barn. Certainly come in on the west side. We're getting new bathrooms and a front into the facilities there. So that's all busted up, and I'll have those doors locked. And so you'll have to come in on the west side. But
how's that project coming? Good?
It is. You know, we got a brand new sound system there back right there before our county show at the end of February. And then sent bids out, and they've started working on there. They're going to get the two bathrooms up to speed and widen them out, make them better, make them flow better, and then have a nice atrium to come in as you come in from outside into, instead of you would just be right at the kitchen when you walk in like now. So hopefully it'll be a really nice facility. I'm hoping, knocking on wood, that they get it done before we have our county fair there the Friday, Saturday after Labor Day. So anyway. Don't know that it'll be done, but anyway, it's
they got
progress.
6 weeks. A lot can be done.
Progress.
6 weeks.
Progress.
You know, we'll talk about one of the shooters, one of the new shooters that come on board with the Beckham County 4-H, Carter Ripto. Anyway, I want to send out a shout to him. Hope he gets better. He broke his arm into both bones, anyway, the other day out on the farm. So we send him prayers and good thoughts out to Carter. I know he's sitting in bed. I don't know, laying in bed. That's a bad arm break he got. So anyway, hopefully he'll be healed up time for shooting sports. But anyway, and also on shooting sports, while you brought that up, next week, Pack Saddle is going to be opening their new shooting range up there at the WMA. So, I mean, it's ongoing.
Oh, it's really growing exponentially. The shooting sports program is growing, and certainly you can't give enough kudos and shout out to those volunteers that have done a great job here in Beckham County to get that thing on the forefront of, you know, you used to think about Garfield County, Jackson County, some other counties, they were the ones. Well, now when people talk about it, they talk about Beckham County shooting sports.
Yeah, because Jackson County used to be the king studs.
Yeah. They're still good.
No, oh, yeah, saying, they're still good.
But these guys have really stepped up their ball game and really have got a lot of good kids and a lot of parent support also.
That meeting will be at the somebody just sent a text. The meeting will be at the county barn there in Sayre, right behind the courthouse at 6 o'clock. Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tuesday.
And we'll serve hot dogs.
That's where it'll be. And, yeah, because Jeremy Pence was one of the instructors down there, coaches like Paul and them for Jackson County. Now he's the instructor at the Western Oklahoma State College.
Yes.
So he's got
a big program down there, too.
And they got a couple kids from Merritt down there.
Yes. So, good kids, yes, for sure.
So, anyway, well, good. Cool. All right. Well, let's just move on to our next one.
Well, you know, another topic that we could talk about is as we a lot of people have spring Kevin cows, and so certainly they've already had the bulls out here and ready to go, and probably some of them maybe have already thinking about pulling bulls out. But I always get this question, good, bad, in different times, whether we've got great grass and water like we do now, or if it was in like 2011 or 2021 and 22 there when it was so bad and dry, you know, people having to sell their cows. And you know, they come in and talk about that, and I said, well, have you pregnant checked your cows to get those problem ones out of the way, those that are taking your money? Well, no, I haven't. And I've done a little bit of research on that, and with that use of pregnant checking, which that's world-renowned, that's a good practice to have, Oklahomans, only about 40% of them actually use that technology.
Really?
To check their cows to see how many are bred and kind of make some decisions financially on down the road. And so when I talked to them about that, have you ever thought about selling those open cows? Well, no. I mean, when you talk about the sacred cow herd, a lot of people get pretty upset about that. So
they're a little touchy
if they've got a name on them. And so I just say, you know, just for example, Jimmy Clark, he hires me to work this full year, and I do a great job. And at the end of the year, I come back and say, Jimmy, I'm not going to be able to come in and work for you any next year, but I like to get paid, and I'll try to come back next year. Would you keep me on board? No, you wouldn't. No. So why do you keep that cow and feed her for a full year? She's got to earn her pay. And so it's simple logistics, financial stability there. And so I think that people ought to really look at that as far as when they go to culling cows, because if those cows are open, there could be lots of reasons. I mean, lots of variables there, but it could be even breeding some inefficiencies into your herd. If you happen to keep a heifer out of that, maybe that genetic line is not going to be as productive, maybe some others. So if you dwindle those down and try to get as much productivity as you can, that's good. And certainly we all know what the cost of supplementation and the cost of hay, you've all seen that and what the market is. So we need to save as much standing forage as we can, and less than the amount of hay we haul out there and the amount of supplementation we give each year. You know, when you think about a cow, it takes about 283 days for her to have a calf. And then if you figure you want her to have a calf in a year, if you take 365 minus 283, that leaves you about 82 days to get that cow bred back. So a lot of good things have got to happen in that 82 days. You know, she's got to heal up from birthing process. If there was some traumatization there, that's another added factor. If her condition score is not adequate enough, there's another factor. If you don't have enough bull power, that's another factor. So a lot of things can go in there. So we really have to be careful about that 82 days to make sure that cow's in ample position to breed back. And if she doesn't breed back in those 82 days, maybe we should look at, is there a reason why? Is that a management decision? Is that a genetic decision? What is the reason for that cow not pulling her own weight and earning her keep for that full year? So I looked at some stats and some things that we can look at here. You know, a lot of people, some people, depending on your situation, they might want to preg check at 45 days. I know that's kind of risky. A lot of veterinarians will talk about that. Maybe it's a little risky. You could slip an embryo by doing some of those rectal palpations like that. Then a lot of people do a 60-day. That's where a lot of the veterinarians talk about ultrasounding and even these blood samplings by the chute. They can do that. They've got to wait it out, but those are pretty cost prohibitive for some people. And if you go on a 60-day breeding cycle, maybe 60 days is too soon to know exactly which ones are bred and which ones aren't. But probably the most normal, most popular is the 90 to 120-day. Yeah, that's the easiest palpation before the calf gets bigger and kind of falls more down lower into the womb there. And, you know, a lot of times that's a convenient time to process or weaning the calves or vaccinating the calves or processing your cows, whether you're ear tagging them or pouring wormer on there. And that's another topic, wormer, that we could talk about for sure, too. Yeah. That I've done some research on, and we've got some ongoing research on that. But they may not allow enough time for there. But anyway, I just want people to be more progressive in what they're doing with the technologies we've got, because I think it can really save them a tremendous amount of money and heartache on down the line if they would use some of those pregnant checking, visually appraisal, some of those technologies that are so well advanced now that you can do those. You know, I know that ultrasound, yeah, that would be a certain situation where maybe you need to have a certain amount of pregnancies in a certain amount of time, but that's going to be very cost prohibitive for some people. But normally $3 or $4 or $5 you know, rectal palpation, depending on, I guess, if the veterinarian has to jump over the fence and jump back, or gets kicked by the cow, or has a palpation gate, or there's a lot of variables.
Well, here's my thought on that deal there. You take one cow that hadn't produced you a calf in 2 years, you could have took that money that you lost on that cow and bought you a really nice head gate and put up some really decent pens. So it's no big deal to have a vet come out, because the vets have been on the road more and more nowadays, because it's easier for them to come out and check them out there than you to haul them in and tie this up and wait in line, set an appointment up. I set my appointment up to get these cows west Elk City here preg checked a month ago. 2 weeks we're going to preg check and we're going to ultrasound them, because they're at the 60-day deal.
Yeah.
And but as soon as we get it done, the cows that ain't bred, they're gone.
That's it.
There's
too many
good cattle nowadays to have that on your farm.
And that's just a good management decision. And that's another situation where we tried not to name any of our cows. They just have a ear tag.
I know, but it's hard for me not to.
I know it is, but you just it's a management decision. It's a business decision. And if they don't pull their weight, they've got to go. I don't care if it's Susie Q or whatever her name is, and she's been
well
great.
My Mabel's going to the sale barn in the morning
anyway. It's just part of it. And you know, they can do I've heard a lot of people say, well, she did be a great job last year. Well, if she does you a sorry job this year, just cut that great job in half, and she's in the lower bottom percentage of your cow herd, and she's just got to go. So
she's just the average if she's half and half.
Yes.
And also, I know some of the guys, I have some of these buddies, the way they preg check is, and after the cows calve, they count their calves and they count their cows, and sometimes it don't match up.
I understand. And you know, and I've seen this true, and I don't know that I don't have any research, but you know, have you ever noticed that usually when the cows all get bred, the bull, he leaves and he's not around him, or he wants to go somewhere else.
Or he does go somewhere.
He does, yes, he does go somewhere else. So that's another pretty sound management practice to know that the cows are bred. If the bull doesn't want to stay with them, or he's going fine and somewhere else to be, greener pastures. So,
yeah,
and we've all had that. So there's lots of technology, but I just urge producers to use those, help them with management decisions, because they've all been in a situation like 2011, 2022 here, that where we've just had to sell down because of lack of feedstuffs out there. And so be prepared, because it won't, it's like the Derek Rucker song, it won't be like this for long.
No,
we're just a couple weeks away from another drought if we
well
don't.
And right now with the slaughter cow and bull market right now, why not preg check? And you probably get your money back on your bull right now. If your bull's not any good and the cows are $1, $1.20, get rid of them. Let's go.
Go send that one to town and go buy you a younger heifer that's maybe, or a younger cow that's got a little calf. Bring and add a little bit of money to it, still be money ahead right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's take Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, and when we come back, I'll have your forecast for northwestern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas Panhandle, and I'll tell you a little bit about the Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and what's our next topic we're going to talk about, the CUs?
Oh, we can talk about CUs.
Yes. Okay, cool. All right, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Whenever we work with families, they almost end up becoming family because we're talking about such personal issues. This young man had come in and his mother had passed away. And she had been a foster mother all her life. And he wanted something special. He had seen a bronze that we had that was a circle with leaves around it and little birds in there. And he said just reminded him of his mother so much because she took care of everyone. The little bird and had the little baby birds in it and everything. Linda designed this vertical monument and placed this bronze piece on the monument and set it in the cemetery. And it was after Mother's Day the next year he called and he was so excited. Bluebird had made a nest in the bronze. Now Mother's Day, the eggs hatched and had baby birds in the monument that he had made for his mother who had been a foster mom. It was very emotional for us and him because it represented everything he wanted. Willis Granite Products is the name of our company. We're contacted through our website, willisgranite.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
I might introduce myself. I'm Clarence Robinson from Arapahoe, Oklahoma. Well, what I decided to do one day, I have my wife, she had a 2019 Rogue, and I wanted to update. And so I decided that I go over to Wendy's because that's the closest Nissan dealer in western Oklahoma. And I didn't want to have to go all the way to Oklahoma City. From there, it was all positive. So I went over there and I met this girl, Cassie. I told her what I wanted to do, and she says, well, I've got a Rogue out here on the lot you might want to look at. I think you'll like it. And so I was wanting something that I could use GPS for traveling, you know. And, well, this had it. Had it all built in already. Didn't have to do anything, just push a little button, and that was it. I saw like that. They gave me a heck of a trade-in. Didn't have to squabble with them or anything. They're very professional, very courteous, and upfront and honest. I decided that I'd go over to Wendy's. Now I'm the owner of a 2023 Rogue.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners. This is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Today in Ag show. I have picked the city of Alva for your northwestern Oklahoma forecast. Currently it's 89 degrees. Heat index is at 103. 78 is the deep dew point. Humidity is 71%. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. The winds are out of the east-southeast at 12 with wind gusts up to 18. Sunset at 8:55, 96 for a high today. You have 50% chance of storms tonight. 40% tomorrow, high 94. Tomorrow night, 50% chance of thunderstorms, low of 69. Saturday looks gorgeous, 88, and winds out of the northeast. 30% chance of rain Saturday night. Sunday, 90. Monday, back up to the real world. Mostly sunny and 95 degrees. Anyway, so we got that going on, and appreciate it. That's your forecast. Oklahoma Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization that gives a voice to Oklahoma farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. Directed and guided by the Oklahoma farmers and ranchers, Oklahoma Farm Bureau advocates for our state agriculture in rural communities around our state, at our state capital in Oklahoma City, and in the halls of Congress in Washington, D.C. You can easily join Roger Mills Farm Bureau by going to by their office in Cheyenne. Memberships are $37.50 a year. That's $37.50, and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various business. OKFarmBureau.org or 580-497-2579. There you have it. Appreciate you guys sponsoring the Happy Cap Hour on Thursdays. Well, we got to get going on. We got so much to cover. CU's classes start up pretty quick.
Yeah, you know, the private applicators, most of those people that have their private applicator's license, they know that that's a five-year cycle, and that started in 2019, and it will end December 31st of 2023. So it didn't matter when you got your private applicator's license. Everybody's will run out at the end of 23. So we'll start a brand-new cycle in 24. So with that, things have changed over the last 5 years. It used to be where we would have classes there at the county barn, and they would buy their tests and open them up, and we would spend 2.5 hours, 3 hours going over PowerPoint and talking about that, and they could take their tests. Well, now that's changed where you can either get renewed two different ways. One of those is by having a proctored exam where you have to get on and go to Kelly Solutions there with ODAF and get your site that you want to go to and get you a time that you're going to be proctored for the test. Or you can go with continuing education units, and those are classes that deal with herbicides, pesticides, drift, as much knowledge you can get about spraying or chemical safety. And so a couple years ago we started doing those. ODAF didn't have enough time to spend a lot of resources with that, so they kind of turned that over to OH Extension to try to get those classes. And so we've been using these continuing education units, and most people in this area have to have 16 units to get their certification where they can just re-up, send their money into ODAF, probably starting here in the next couple of weeks all the way through the end of the year. And if you've got enough of those units or you can take that test, they'll put you into the next cycle, which will be 24 through 28. So there's a lot of people that don't want to take that test. They would rather come to our classes. So we are going to start those classes again. We'll have some every month. We're going to start on August the 30th again, and that's going to be a big one. Try to have like 2 hours in the morning, feed them lunch, and 2 hours in the afternoon. I don't know exactly where that's going to be, but it's going to be a consortium, a continued venture with Roger Mills, Custer, Washita, and Beckham County. And we're going to try to have it in a central location there where we can have some instructors come in. Our plans are to have Western Equipment to bring a sprayer out and talk about nozzle size, calibration, drift, and things like that there with just water, and show the producers a little bit more about that, kind of hands-on. So that's one of the features we've got there. But that's coming up, and then we'll start having some more classes, maybe several of them in September, some in October, some in November and December. So I urge you, if you're not for sure about how many CEUs you've got credits, you can either call the extension office in your county, or you can get with Debbie Mandrell at the Department of Agriculture there, or not Department of Agriculture, but ODAF, Department of
ODAF, yeah.
ODAF there. Call them, Debbie Mandrell, and visit with her, and she can tell you how many you've got. Or you can go on their website and look at the private applicator's license, and go down, and it will have, the bad part about it, it has all 300 pages of everybody in the Oklahoma that's got
so that. You creep on your neighbor?
Yes, go over right there and see who's got their units or not. And so, anyway, we're working on, for this next meeting, having a QR code where people can bring their smartphones in and take a picture of that, and it'll take them directly to that website where they can actually look on there very quickly, and they can keep that updated and know. Most of the producers in this area, I've been looking. Some of them need a few. We've got some that just need three or four. We need some that need six. We need some that need 10. So we're going to offer lots from now until the end of the year to try to get everybody up to speed and make sure they have their continuing education units where they can get their private applicator's license renewed again for the 24-28 cycle.
Question for you. Can people come to the classes he's talking about from Greer County?
Certainly. Those are all welcome for anybody to come. We'll try to advertise it with all the extension programs around here, try to put it on the calendar there at Oklahoma State University that they send out, and on their website. That way, if you want to come and you want to participate in that, you're more than welcome to come. We just are trying to do some things with these four counties because they all connect, and we're all pretty good friends here, and we all know we've got producers that need these credits, and so we're going to continue to do that together. Again, you know, we've had lots of 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon Zoom meetings, and those fit a particular sector of people. They fit a particular time, but not everybody likes to sit for 3 hours and watch a video or see somebody on a Zoom. We just like to have people together where they can talk to the presenters there. They can see hands-on things, and so I just think it's much better if we can have a few of those. And we'll have some Zooms along the way that you can get with your county educators and do that, but you're certainly more than welcome to come to any programs that I put on or any of the other extension agents in those four counties put on. If that, if you're close enough there and want to drive, we welcome you to come to any of those.
You had some pretty good participation last year in your classes.
Oh, we've had really good participation. You know, we did one out there at the Elk City Farm and Home Show there in April, and that was a big success, and we've done some Zooms here. You know, we had a big one down at Sentinel for the Washtenaw County people. We've done some in Custer County, Beckham, Roger Mills, Kiowa County, in Jackson County. We've done them all over. So, anyway, just to let those know, those people, farmers, producers, that landowners that need a private applicator's license, if you haven't already got yours, we need to start on that. If you need a few more credits, we're certainly going to be available for those, and I just want to make you aware of those. But if you want to put down August 30th, I don't know where it's going to be at yet, but we are going to have one somewhere in these four county areas in a logistically pleasable place where most people can come to that, the most people, and have one for a 2 hour in the morning, 2 hour in the afternoon with the lunch being served.
So how many guys do you think went home from that one out here at the Elk City Farm Show? And the wife went, I thought you was going to get CU credits. Why do we have a new bull in the pen?
Yeah, I thought about that. Or why are they delivering this new side-by-side out here? Or, you know, where'd you buy all this stuff? I thought you went to go get credits for a private applicator's license. Yeah.
Well, let's take Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. When we come back, we're going to finish up. And Greg needs to come over here like once a week. But there's so much to cover. But we got I think between soil testing and grasshoppers, we could probably finish out the hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I was a teacher, and so I taught him in high school. What I always noticed about Mickey was what a leader he was. And part of it is because he's so willing to do the work himself. We had a incident this past December. Had the freeze in Mangum, had a pipe bust in the wall, and it's just a mess. And Gary called Mickey, and honestly, the plumber did arrive first, but Mickey and his daughter were right behind him. They brought tools, and they helped Gary clean out the bedroom, and they mopped the floor, they took the carpet up. And when they left, I told Gary, I said, we couldn't live in a better town because that would never happen anywhere else. And we're very thankful to have him. I'm Celia Nippert, and Gary and I use Mickey Lively because we know that when we have a need for our insurance, that Mickey and Farm Bureau will take good care of
it. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We will be an ag bank forever. There's just no way around it. Western Oklahoma, that's kind of a big deal around here. And we like to structure that stuff to where it fits your operation. You know, one size doesn't fit all. We're able to take what you need and have it fit you specifically. It helps guys with their cash flow. It gives them a little relief knowing they don't have to come up with a payment during the slow time of the year. They're not having to sell calves early to make a payment. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Hot deals are happening at DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. Spartan's summer sales event is going on now, and if you've been pondering the idea of buying a new zero-turn mower, now is the time. They're offering 0% financing or instant rebates. That means more money in your pocket and less time mowing the yard. Now that's a grass-cutting, money-saving deal. DJ's Rentals and Sales on South Main in Elk City.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I picked the big town of Altus, Oklahoma. Currently, it's 98 degrees. Feels like 105. They are under an excessive heat warning. Hobart, Hollis, all those counties down in there, south of Beckham and Wichita, you guys are in excessive. Can't even say it today. Heat warning. 69 is your dew point. Humidity is 39. No rainfall in 24 hours. Southwest wind at 4 miles an hour. Sunset at 8:52. 106 is your high today. 101 tomorrow. You got a 30% chance of rain tonight. 20 tomorrow and 20 tomorrow night. Saturday, 95. Saturday night, a 30% chance of rain showers. Looks like you better enjoy Sunday. 93 degrees. Monday is back to 102, and more heat warnings and advisories will be out all weekend long around Altus, so it's just going to be hot. Okay, let's talk about soil testing. The reason why I brought that up to you is because all this rain we got, I feel like it's pushed some of our fertilizer down past being good use to it.
That is correct. Gotten lots of calls in the last couple of weeks. All the way from cotton producers to homeowners with their lawns. Maybe things aren't growing as fast or don't look as good. And I really believe that unusual amount of water that we've had, that we've been blessed with here recently, has probably located some of those nutrients below the root zone, and maybe some of those plants haven't actually got to them. And you think about these roots. It's been really cool in May, pretty seasonally cool in June, and we've had some warming up, but I've looked this morning, you know, the soil temperature in Elk City is 76.
Yeah, and right across state line it's 84.
Yeah, and you know, and we're at the 13th of July, so we should be much warmer than that. So I don't know that our maturity of our roots has really gotten to where those plants really get to going very vigorously. And so certainly in time, as you've already given the forecast there, it's going to heat up, and so our soil temperatures are going to get warmer. Hopefully those roots can get down there to them. I tell some of our producers or homeowners, you know, go out and maybe give them a little bit of lawn, a little bit extra nutrition if you need that. I know some producers are going to go ahead and put down a little bit extra fertilizer to kind of supplement until those roots can get down to some of that the nutrients that they've already knived in or they've worked in or their fertilizer. So I think that's a big portion of it that we just haven't gotten down to. Our roots haven't matured enough to get down to those particular levels of where the protein and the nutrients have been located at, translocated because of the extra amount of water. And in some places, farther east of here, they may have washed them completely away with all the rain they've had over there. I think ours has just probably been translocated down just a little bit lower in the profile, and I think it's still there. We'll try to do some probing and see if our nutrients are still in, you know, in that 8 to 16 in there and see where we're at, see if it's been translocated. But I think it's just a matter of time, and certainly with warmer temperatures, the rainfall we've had, I think that will really try to correct itself. I certainly hope it can, and a lot of producers I've visited with feel like the same thing, that it will try to correct itself as we go through time.
Well, and right now our evaporation rate has gone up
tremendously. Yeah, we lost a lot of water yesterday. If you look on the mezzanine to see, I mean, there's a lot of water that
point
transpired.
0.4, I think.
Yes.
Yesterday, I think it was like 0.4.
Yeah, and so if we have many days like tomorrow or yesterday, plus if we have higher wind gusts, you know, that'll even accentuate that problem there. So we've got, it's good right now, but like I said, we're not too far away from a drought.
Say our soil temperature was here in Elk City?
It's at 76.
Yeah, it's 86 in Altus.
Yeah. So we're kind of and I believe in Cheyenne it's 80 or above, isn't it, or 82?
Yep.
I mean, it's,
well, let me check
kinda,
it out.
We're kind of in an area here where it's kind of cooled down, and even maybe like at Butler it's cool, where they've had a lot of rain up in that, where we're just in an area here where the soil temperatures have not warmed up quite enough to look there. So I think that's part of the issue there. We need to get a little warmer soil temperatures.
81 in Cheyenne.
Okay.
So, 5 degrees difference.
Right. So it makes a difference there. And so I think if you'll just hang on as we go through the summer, I think that things will correct themselves. I certainly hope they can. And
Nothing little old soil tests won't tell you.
That's true. For $10, you can really be rest assured that things are going to be all right, and that you're making the proper decisions as far as nutritional levels for your crops, your bedding plants, your trees, and all those things like that.
We got a little bit left. Let me and you talk about these grasshoppers.
You know, I don't know that they've ever been as bad as they are right now at my house. And we just talked about a while ago, the vibrant colors. I've never seen some of the colors.
Yeah, pink and red. And I know there's yellow grasshoppers out there, but I'm talking about this was one colored grasshopper I seen the other day. I've never seen these colors.
I mean, and if anything, I think these last 60 or 70 days can throw out the old wives' tale about, oh, rain will kill those grasshoppers.
Yeah,
you'll get fungus on
that,
them.
That was a myth.
I think it was. And so certainly, because I still get a lot of calls on that. Why come we got so many grasshoppers? It's been raining. Well, I don't think there's certainly no research, OSU research, to prove that that's the truth.
But you hit the nail on the head. I think you're going to go through anywhere from 3 to 5 hatching of grasshoppers during the year.
Yes.
You know, and grasshoppers like green stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember last year when it started, the drought was turning things. When you came on, we were talking about gear in some cows and all that. Well, the grasshoppers kind of disappeared, kind of tapered off. And the reason why, there was another hatching. They moved on to greener pastures.
It's too dry for them to hatch on, and they moved on somewhere else. But now we've got plenty of moisture, and so I think the grasshoppers are certainly here to stay, because I was walking through some grass yesterday, and there's some big grasshoppers, and then I
there's
saw
some
lots
baby
of
wounds.
Little ones that they're going to come and take their place when those others die off, or when they've done their life cycle.
You got the contacts up there at Stillwater at OSU. Next time you're on a call with them and stuff, tell them we're looking for them to design a grasshopper that eats mosquitoes.
Dual purpose. Come with an armor on him, that's for sure.
Oh, my God. But there is. It's crazy. The grasshoppers are good. And, I mean, there's besides getting some chickens and guineas, yeah. I don't know what else to tell them.
Because it's not feasible to spray.
No, it's not. So anyway. You can spray it on your alfalfa, your crops, or your garden, and right outside that corridor, take a walk
out. Or your
out.
Homeowners can spray their spray, you know, across their yard there to try to keep them out with their tempo, but it doesn't take long for them to come back in, and you're not going to kill them. So,
anyway. No. Greg, thank you so much for coming in today.
When I come back, I want to talk about in another couple weeks. I want to talk about some of this wormer. Is it working or not?
Okay.
We're doing some research on that right now, and I'll have some results from then.
Cool. All right. We'll be back. Thank you. You guys have a great day. It's The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, God bless.